When you think about the range of human choices that are described and recorded over the course of Chumash, it could be that one of the most bizarre appears in this week's parsha. In the aftermath of the destruction of Sodom and Amorah, Lot escapes, and his wife does not survive, but he survives together with his two single daughters. They run to Tzoar, and then we know the aftermath is Lot's daughters, the way Rashi explains, they think that civilization has been destroyed. They think that the destruction that was visited upon Sodom and Amorah wasn't just something local, but it was like the Mabul, and humanity is gone, and the only survivors, some of us are apocalyptic vision, the only survivors are the two of them and their aging father, and they take it upon themselves to commit incest with their own father in order to maintain the human race. A bizarre story, a bizarre situation, but by their lights, you know, they felt that they were literally saving the world and saving humanity. Something that's also strange, but a lot less obvious, is the way the Torah tells the story. If you open a Chumash, you take a look, the story stretches from Shlishi into Revi. Obviously, it begins with the Malachim coming to Sodom and visiting Lot and trying to convince Lot to leave, and the whole back and forth, and Lot with the other members of Sodom, and finally Lot leaves. Lot leaves, and his wife turns around. And then before the Torah continues to talk about, you know, Lot running with his daughters to Tzoar and then to the cave, it's sort of like an odd shift of scene. The Torah cuts from the focus on Lot and his family. They're in Sodom and escaping Sodom and running and fleeing. Suddenly the Torah cuts in Perek Yutes Pasuk Chav Zayin for 2-3 psukim. All of a sudden we see the Torah cuts to overlooking this whole plain of Sodom. The next morning, Avraham Avinu, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, Avraham Avinu steps out early, gets up early in the morning, and he steps out and overlooks Vayashkef al Panei Sodom. And he looks out at the destruction, and he sees what happened. And he sees the whole place is a smoky mess. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had destroyed the Arei HaKikar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed what had been the most fertile area, probably the wealthiest area in the entire region. Sodom and Amorah, all those other cities, they're all destroyed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had saved Lot. And then the Torah cuts back to Lot and his daughters running to Tzoar and then running to the cave, and everything ensues. And it's sort of like an odd, hard to know why is the Torah sort of cutting back and forth between the scenes in the middle? And what's the point? Avraham Avinu wakes up, and it's very evocative. I mean, this is Avram who had, just yesterday, it sounds like, been attempting to negotiate with the Ribbono Shel Olam, maybe we could save once these cities, those people. So obviously, one could imagine the thoughts and the emotions going through Avraham Avinu when he looks out the next morning to see what Ribbono Shel Olam decided, and he sees the entire, all the cities are just, you know, this city, Sodom is destroyed, Amor is destroyed, and so forth. But why? Why in the middle of the story? So I heard from Rav Shechter, I believe in the name of the Rav, that it gives us such practical perspective in what seems like such a bizarre, esoteric story. Because the Benos Lot, in their mind, they were doing the right thing. In their mind, they were doing something heroic. They were saving humanity. Their father is the last living human male, and they're gonna carry on the human race. And within their limited perspective, it was the right thing to do. Within their limited perspective. In their minds, as Rashi says, they thought all of humanity had been wiped out, and they are the only surviving human beings. How wrong they were. They thought, Ki'ilu, like the entire world is whatever they see. If their community, if what's under their nose is gone, it must be that the entire world is destroyed. They didn't realize that there's a big world out there. Not only is Avraham Avinu alive, and the rest of civilization is still standing, and they thought if their town is gone, that's the end of the world, literally. They themselves, they thought they were such great tzidkanias, that they were the only ones to survive. They're like Noach. They themselves, as the Torah stresses, they themselves only survived b'schus Avraham Avinu. But they were stuck in such a narrow, provincial, sort of shuttered, blinded perspective. They could only see what was in front of their noses. And so they made momentous decisions based on terrible data. And that's such an important lesson. The details of Benos Lot seem so foreign, but the core midah that the Torah is teaching us and that the Torah is highlighting with this cutting back in the middle of the story to remember that there's an Avram Avinu, there's a whole world out there, there's a whole literally other perspective. Ayashkef al Pnei Sodom, Avram is on the top of a sand dune looking down at this, literally looking down at this whole scene. And the Torah is reminding us that when we make decisions, it not only is it important not to make long-term decisions based on short-term considerations, not as critically important in decision-making to think about not just where we are here and now, but where things are going to lead, but even to think in the present, to be able to look at a bigger swath, and to look at a broader perspective on the facts. And so often, all of us, in a variety of ways, we make decisions large and small, and often we just sort of look at what's right in front of us, and snap. And never as severe, as extreme as the Benos Lot, but often we make decisions without looking, thinking about the bigger picture, without thinking about who else is going to be impacted, without thinking about what are the other factors and how does this fit into the bigger picture. And the Torah is reminding us, with the shock of the Benos Lot, of that critical lesson: who's the Avram in the picture? What are the other pieces as we consider what is it in fact? What would be the heroic thing to do? What would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us to do in this context?